Welcome to the Meaningful Medicine Podcast, a Novant Health podcast bringing you access to leading doctors who answer questions they wish you would ask. From routine care to rare conditions, our physicians offer tips to navigate medical decisions and build a healthier future. I'm Carl Marone, it's your host, and today we're fortunate to be joined by Dr. Philip Marks, a urologist with Novant Health Urology in Wilmington. Dr. Marks, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about prostate health and large prostate, but maybe we start with talking about what the prostate is and what its function should be.
Well, the prostate is a small gland that surrounds and is below the bladder opening, and its prime function is fertility. It provides a transport mechanism for sperm cells and semen. However, as we age, it tends to perform in different ways, and it tends to enlarge with age and can cause urinary complaints. So early on, needed for fertility and as a transport medium for sperm cells. And as we age, it tends to be more troublesome.
So let's talk about how common an enlarged prostate is in men. Is it a common condition?
It's one of the more common conditions that we see in our practice. Most middle-aged men starting around the age of 50 will experience some symptoms of prostatic enlargement. And in fact, about 70% of men, if they live to the age of 80, will experience some urinary complaints attributable to an enlarged prostate.
So is it frequency of urination that changes over time? Is that the biggest issue?
It's one of the issues that men tend to complain about, but it might be a range of symptoms from difficulty urinating, slow urinary stream, hesitation in starting the urinary stream, feeling like they're not emptying well, or urgency. I gotta go quickly.
I'm going to guess because of the fertility component, there's some sexual issues as well, potentially, with the prostate.
It can be. Certainly with medications and or treatment, there can be some untoward sexual side effects, which are easily mitigated with treatment.
So if someone's having these symptoms, what should their course of action be?
Well, it depends how bothersome. Studies have shown that screening for enlarged prostate and or prostate cancer should occur in most men by the age of 50. And that screening should include a check for the urine, a so-called urinalysis, a PSA screening blood test initially, lab work, chemistries, make sure kidney function is within normal limits. And if there are significant symptoms, then we can take that a little bit further.
What are the causes generally for an enlarged prostate? Is it, you mentioned age being one of them. Are there other causes?
Well, it's an affliction of age for sure, and in most men, an inevitability that will cause some problems. But certain medications can exacerbate symptoms, such as medicines for diabetes or diuretic use that's used for hypertension or congestive heart failure. But there's no other medication that will enlarge the prostate faster. However, some men will take testosterone replacement therapies, and that can hasten the growth of the prostate.
You mentioned screenings. Those are generally conducted by the primary care provider, so therefore regular checkups are an important thing.
Right. Regular checkups are very important. That should also include a digital rectal examination to get a feel of the prostate and make sure there are no lumps or bumps or irregularities.
What are some of the frontline treatments for an enlarged prostate?
If somebody is symptomatic, then we can consider at least behavioral therapy initially. And what that means is maybe minimize fluids prior to bedtime so we get up less often at night. Maybe before traveling, we would choose fluids that are not diuretic producing, such as coffee, tea, or soft drinks. But if symptoms persist, and within 6 weeks of at least a trial of behavioral therapy, initially we try medications.
And I understand that you're doing some new treatments, that aqua ablation, if I'm saying that correctly. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So when frontline medications fail and patients are still symptomatic or develop side effects related to medication, we'll evaluate the men for a more aggressive approach with surgery or procedures. Aqua ablation is a new form of treatment that combines robotics, artificial intelligence, and cystoscopy and all of the elements that we're all well familiar with. And it's been marvelous in terms of outcome, ease of use, considerably more precise than traditional surgery is.
Are there certain patients who are better candidates for the aquablation than others?
Yes, good question. The patients, prior to any kind of procedure, we will do some studies that involve cystoscopy, which is a visual inspection of the entire urinary tract. And we will take some sort of volume determination, meaning how large is the prostate? There are patients who have prostates that are quite small but still have symptomatology that may not be good candidates for aquablation. So the idea of volume determination may help us decide which procedure is most suitable for the patient. But in general, the benefit of aquablation is that it can treat virtually any size prostate gland.
Certainly there must be other procedures and treatments as well that someone may be a candidate for.
Right. There are a host of treatments that we use in our armamentarium when we decide that somebody needs to have prostate procedure. There are minimally invasive procedures that we can actually do in the office, such as UroLift and Rezūm, and they act in a different way than aquablation. Outpatient procedures, such as laser therapy for the prostate, are commonly utilized as well. The traditional and gold standard is called a TURP, a TURP, which actually removes the obstructing tissue, allowing for a freer flow.
Doctor, we haven't used the C word yet as it relates to enlarged prostate. So maybe you could talk about what is the connection to cancer and an enlarged prostate and what are the obvious concerns there?
Well, there's actually no physiologic connection. However, for men who are being screened for an enlarged prostate, part of the evaluation is a PSA blood test and a digital rectal examination. So we tend to find more cancers because the patients come in for screening. So the more men that we see, the more men that we examine, and the more men that we actually test, we'll find more cancers. But physiologically, there's no direct relation to the development of cancer and having an enlarged prostate. Or you can have both. You can have both at the same time as well.
Through your patient base, are there common questions, maybe even myths that come up related to the enlarged prostate?
Of course. I would say the most common myth that we see or misinformation is that all treatment for prostate will result in some type of sexual dysfunction, and that's not accurate. The benefit of aquablation that we find is that it preserves ejaculatory function, preserves sexual function, and certain untoward side effects that we may see with other forms of treatment.
We talked earlier about regular checkups, an important thing. Some symptoms, more frequent urination, those kind of things. Don't ignore those. Make sure you're seeing your doctor. That would be the advice?
Oh, most certainly. And if there's any bleeding of any kind, that should be evaluated. Change in the patient's normal urinary habits should also be evaluated. But urinalysis should be a great screening tool. PSA blood tests should be done periodically. Guidelines now suggest that at the age of 50, for low-risk patients, PSA baseline should be obtained. And then every several years, it should be checked for monitoring.
All great advice. Doctor, let me ask how you got into the specialty of urology and what drew you to that?
Well, it's well-suited for my personality, for sure. But I think when we're in training, we align ourselves, surgery, non-surgery. The beauty of urology, at least for me, and for the patients that I see, is that I can really make an impact in my community because I could see patients of all ages, from children to adults to males and females, common urologic problems that are endemic to the region. There are surgeries. There's a lot of primary care in urology in the office. And it's remarkably rewarding when patients respond to treatment.
It's great that patients have someone who's so passionate about that. Dr. Philip Marks, urologist with Novant Health, we appreciate your time today on the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please share it on your social channels and check out the entire library of podcasts for more topics of interest. I'm Carl Moronis, your host. This has been Meaningful Medicine. Thanks for listening.